I would like you, if you take the time, sometime in the next several weeks, go to the website strongdisciple.com and look up the series, The Passionate Life. It's a look at the Apostle Paul and the four primary things from which his passion was derived. When I think of passion, one man comes to mind, the Apostle Paul. It just blows my mind, the fire in that man's soul. As Lewis was sharing, I grew up going to a little Baptist church with old-fashioned, we did old-fashioned hymns, but we also did old-fashioned folk songs. And there used to be one called, It Only Takes a Spark to Get a Fire Going. Does anyone remember that song? Yeah. And soon all those around will warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to share, you want to pass it on. And that's really what Lewis is talking about. We don't need to imitate the person's personality. I've told this to men. I think it's an interesting way to talk with them. But I watched a lot of men over the years, and they say to Mark, I'm just not like you. I'm just not like Lewis. I said, yeah, but I sat in the living room and watched you cheer on the Vikings, and you went nutcase on the couch. You're Mr. Quiet, but boy, you got, how many have ever seen somebody like that? And they're kind of a quiet person, but their blood got going, right? Or maybe they were watching Let's Go Bowling. Remember that show? Or maybe it's, I don't know, fishing. And they talk about fishing. That's really what Lewis is getting at. So much is going to happen as people just observe your life in an informal way because you're with them. So I wanted to remind you of that. It's very significant. It can have a very significant effect on someone else's life. Our life is first impacted by God, and as that life is impacted and continually recharged, we're able to have a wonderful influence on other people. Anyway, let's bow our heads and we'll get into this last section, and we'll have questions that go along with this as well. Father, we just thank you today for the way in which you impact our lives through other people. So many people, Lord, over the years of my life have influenced me. Their attitude, their spirit, the way in which they live their life, the choices that they made. And I think of the verse that says, he who walks with wise men will be wise. She who walks with wise women will be wise. It's amazing what happens. We just pray, Lord, you guide and direct our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, I have to take a drink here for a moment. So I want to look at a couple interesting verses here. I want to talk a little bit about Paul and Timothy. Before I do that, I want to make a comment on the book that I suggested you get this morning, on the Great Evangelical Recession. Okay? Just two little footnotes. I would say 98% of everything in that book I wholeheartedly agree with. There were two things that I would put a slight asterisk by, and I want to explain them so when you read them. One, he gets a little bit into the political realm, not in a bad way, but I want you to know I would have a slightly different take on the importance that politics can play with the nation. And I think of it this way. When I go to vote, I'm going to vote for policies. Personality is not the issue for me ever. Policies can make an impact. For example, we could share many of them. Abortion policy, rewriting what marriage is. Those policies have an impact. They have an impact on people's lives. And so I don't rarely, in fact, even talk about politics from the stage, and rarely, actually, over through the years, have we. And I agree with that concept. But he uses an individual from the cities, and you only know who it is when you see, that I think that particular individual went a little too far. You'll understand it when you read it. The second thing, he talks about unity, the desperate need for unity in the body of Christ. I agree, but I would add a little caveat. I think there's more than one way to be united. For example, at The Rock, here's just a practical example. We have strongly promoted Compassion International, and we're trying to get a goal, but it hasn't happened yet, every one of our families to sponsor, adopt, or single person, a young child in another country where they're given food, clothing, education, and the presentation of the gospel. Last year, Compassion International saw 100,000 young people come to know Christ. So we get in a real tangible way versus showing up at an all-collective worship service. That's fine if you want to do that. Or, you know, everybody's at the stadium and they're praying. That's also a great way. You can do that. But I'm looking for ways. Our Ever Island, they have actually worked with Salvation Army. They've gone to the Salvation Army and done things. They work with Catholic Charities. We try to find ways, tangible ways, to work. We work with Hospitality Chinese Center, with other organizations where we have a common vision, and we just get involved and try to do what they're doing or partner in real tangible ways. Does that make sense? So as you read it, you'll understand God will lead you and God will lead your pastors. Let's get to Paul and Timothy, all right? Intentional disciple making. So I want to read to you a couple verses I have given. Again, I'm not the end-all, be-all on discipleship. I want to make that really clear. But I am one of your founders, and I've been doing this a long time, and there are certain values I am trying to pass on. I have made many, many observations over the years as I read my Bible on the life of Jesus and his men, on the life of Paul in particular, since he writes the majority of the New Testament, and his relationship with Timothy. So I'd like to read to you two key sections from Paul's epistles to Timothy. A little bit of background. Timothy was a young man in Acts chapter 16 that Paul meets in Derbe. And I'm just going to give you my take on the situation. It would appear that Timothy was already a young believer. I do not believe I can strongly prove from the New Testament Paul led him to Christ. It seemed that his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, or vice versa, I get their names mixed up sometime. He had a background in faith. He had a Greek father, probably unsaved Gentile father. And I believe it's his involvement with their lives they led him to Christ. Well, Paul comes traveling through on his missionary journeys, and he's heard the reputation of this young man. The chances are he was quite young. He might have been 16, 17, 18. That was very common. And he really loved the Lord. So by the time you read 1 and 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy is the last book that Paul ever wrote. I have a series called, actually it's called Paul's Last Words, and it's on the book of 2 Timothy. It's interesting to see what he writes to them. So I'm going to read to you two sections, and I'm going to read them from different versions that you're not used to hearing, so you understand some of the things I was trying to communicate. And we are got this tape right now, right? It's going? Correct. Recorded? Thank you very much. Okay. 1 Timothy 4, 11 through 13 out of the Voice Bible. So go out and insist on these things. Teach them. Don't let anyone belittle you or think less of you, even in your own eyes, because you're young. Instead, show the faithful, young and old, an example of how to live. Set the standard for how to talk, act, love, and be faithful and pure. Until I get there, make sure to devote yourself to the scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. This is the Living Bible. Teach these things and make sure everyone learns them well. Don't let anyone think little of you because you're young. Be their ideal. Let them follow the way you teach and live. Be a pattern for them in your love, your faith, and your clean thoughts. Until I get there, read and explain God's word to the church and preach God's word. Now, of course, I understand that Paul as a leader is teaching a younger leader. And Paul was and Peter or Timothy were both involved in pastoral ministry. I get that. What I want to try to do is extrapolate principles, truths that we can gather here so that these texts can imprint on our own life, because God wants all of us involved in helping to fulfill the Great Commission, which the significant part of that is teaching them to do all I commanded them to do. I've often been struck how God says be a pattern. Not many people sew anymore, but I remember as a boy, my mother had a sewing machine. And I'll never forget sometimes, well, I didn't really tag along. That was not cool. But when she'd come home, I would notice that she had these envelopes. And in the envelope was this weird parchment paper. In fact, you don't see that kind of paper any other place. And she'd take it out and she'd have this big cloth. And it was in girl colors or patterns. And she'd lay it out on the table. And she'd begin to take the pattern, this paper, lay it, and then put pins. And then there were dotted lines. This is my remembrance. It could not be accurate, ladies. This is my remembrance, okay? It's mostly right. And then she would cut along whatever, I guess, size you were and that she knew she was. And then she'd follow the pattern and the lines with the pins that she put on it on her sewing machine. That's what I think of myself needing to be for all that I come in contact with. Cut along the dotted lines of mark in your life. And you'll get this. What you see, what you experience, what I'm flawed. I don't mean that. I'm not the perfect pattern. But I know where I am. I know what God has done in my life, and if I think about that with my children, but I was just talking to Karen and Steve. I remember you guys 30 years ago, they were coming to my student group, New Life Students. You remember that? And Karen was telling me in tears, just as she looks back, the investment. You know, I just went. I just go with the students, but yeah, I was kind of the teacher, so I was doing some speaking, but I was deliberately trying to influence and shape and build and guide their life because I had an end in mind. And today they are serving the Lord, reaching out to Muslims for Jesus Christ and trying to raise their children and influence other people for Jesus Christ. Now listen to this text, this one. Ah, this one. It was like God just wrote it for me. Somebody just did this in Mark words. I don't know how to put it. It's this. I couldn't believe I found it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. This is from the Voice version. It's a new version. My wife is loving it. My daughter Celeste, who's here, gave it to her. I believe it was Celeste for Christmas, or all the kids did. And she's just devouring it. It looks now ancient. She's got underlines everywhere. Sometimes you know what I do to encourage myself? I just go read Kathy's Bible. I just sit down. She's my hero to me. I could just go off on this for about an hour. I just love her faith, her genuine simplistic love for the Word of God. And she's got underlined stars. She's sending the kids verses. She recently learned to email. She talks email to an iPad that her son-in-law bought her off Craigslist. And so she's discovered, well, this is kind of fun. So she'll read. So it's so fun to hear her write something. You have been a good student, period. You have closely observed how I have lived, period, comma, exclamation point. That's how she talks. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. You just have to be there. Here's this verse. This is 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 14. Now listen to this. You have been a good student. You have closely observed how I lived. You followed my instructions, my habits, my purpose, my faith, my patience. You watched how I love and have seen how I endure. You have been with me through persecutions and sufferings. Remember what they did to me in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra? I endured all of it. I took it all. And the Lord rescued me from it all. Anyone wishing to live a godly life in Jesus the Anointed will be hunted down and persecuted. But as for the wicked and the imposters, they will keep leading and following each other further and further away from the truth. So surely you ought to stick with what you know is certain, Timothy, and all you learn comes from people you know and trust. Ooh, that's rich. Ooh, you think I made it up, but I didn't. How many times have you heard me talk about habits? Godly habits. There it is, finally a Bible that said it like I hoped it would. Habits. Follow my habits. Habits. Habits are things you sow. You reap what you sow. Most powerful choice God gave us is the freedom of choice. What you do with it, wow. Wow. You sow to the Spirit. You sow good habits in your life. You can have a wonderful reapings, and there's going to be blessing in your life. And it doesn't mean there won't be pain. Pain is God's tool. Trials are God's tool of discipleship. But if we sow bad habits, my goodness, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. And I just love what you can glean from this about Paul with Timothy. And even how he says, you know, you can trust me. That's going to be a key element in your relationship with people that you're trying to influence. They trust you. They trust you. That they know you. He says, you know me. Do they know you? And do you know them? He says, you know how I loved. Wow, do you know how to love? And I'm going to get into some of these things now, okay? But here's what Paul did to Timothy. And this is what I've written in bold print for myself. I want to inspire and influence, imprint and impart my faith, my life, God's truth, by an intentional investment of my time and effort in another person. Or in my case, it's often groups of people. But what I want you to think about, now many of you are small group leaders, so you can think about your small group, but I'd like you to just think for a moment about the one. Now, I'll tell you a little story. I've done this more than once, but here's just an example. I hope it doesn't embarrass this young woman. But I remember the first night I met Julia. I'm driving home. And we had a moment to have a more engaged conversation, so I wouldn't do this normally. There was this eagerness in her. It sort of oozed out. She just couldn't hide it. You could tell, I want God's ways. I want to follow God. And I remember driving home just telling my wife, I said, I met a young lady tonight. Her name's Julia. She's a keeper. She'll be around. And then I remember shortly thereafter telling Carl, hey, Carl, however you do it, get her involved somehow. This young lady has a seriousness. And did you see this verse right here where Paul says to Timothy, this is one of my secrets. Don't let anyone belittle you because you're young. Instead, show the faithful. I look for people. You learn to read people. Now, I haven't always done it right. In fact, people I thought were faithful actually turned out not to be. But that even happened to Jesus. He was God with Judas. And that happened to Paul, by the way, with many, where he said, all have deserted me. All of ages deserted me. That's going to happen. And sometimes it happens not because of, well, they were a bad person, just we're in a great battle. We're in a great battle, and slander happens, and people get wrong ideas, and people say negative things about you, and the next thing you know, it separates good friends, right? That happens. I want you to know, I've been through almost all of it. I haven't been thrown in jail yet. I haven't been physically stoned. There's some other things that haven't happened to me, but I have been tied to the psychological whipping post more than I care to think about. It's just a reality. But I want you to think about the one person, all right? I want to inspire and influence. Of course, I think about this with my children, but I want you to think about, as we're going to give you an assignment later, one of those assignments is I want you to try to prayerfully think about, before you leave here today, to write on a piece of paper just for you or in the front of your Bible, one person that you could have in mind that, Lord, I want to begin to make a more intentional investment relationally in their life, because I want to inspire and influence them, imprint and impart my faith, my life, God's truth, by an intentional investment of my time, effort with another person. I want to inspire and influence their life, their faith, and their decisions. See, I want to be able to influence their decisions. I'll never forget the opportunity I had with my precious daughter-in-law, Leslie. She wasn't my daughter-in-law at the time, and she had been coming to the Rock, and she was going to be a school teacher, which she was in East Bloomington for about 6 years, right over here. And she was in Micah's small group, and someone else's, I forget who, maybe Corey was in there, or Rachel, I don't remember, and she was going to go to Texas and do her internship. And this was a big decision. So fortunately, someone said, why don't you call Mark? So she did. Bless her heart, she called. And I'll never forget our conversation. This is almost word for word, but of course, because I'm not God, it won't be word for word. So I said, well, what are you thinking about? So she told me. I said, well, do you mind if I share with you a couple things to think about? She said, sure. I said, let's just play this out. I said, I believe it'll be about 90% accurate. If you go to Texas, first thing that's going to happen is you're going to love the weather. You've been a Minnesotan all your life, you're going to love the weather. Second thing that's going to happen, you're going to find a big church, because Houston is full of them. And I was very direct. You got to know what you can do and what you can't do. I said, you're a very lovely young lady. There'll be at least three guys that'll be interested in no time. You'll probably find a wonderful female roommate down there. She'll probably be a nominal Christian. And the next thing you know, you'll probably be dating. And the next thing you know, you'll probably marry him. And the trajectory of your life will be forever changed. And I believed every word I said, because I've seen it happen. It's based on what I've seen happen. So I said, I would encourage you to step back and ask, what is it you really want from your life right now? What? Just think, I really want to follow Christ. I really want to do this. So I said, here's what I would do. Let's trust God together, find an internship here, and I believe somehow God will provide you a man. Ooh, my son, there you go. I didn't say that. I didn't even know that. It was not on our radar or hers at all. And And within a year, they started to have this mutual interest. She graduated, she taught school here. And it's just been remarkable to see that one decision. So as these men said, I want to position myself in a relationship with someone they know they can. I love them and they can trust me and have the opportunity to be able to speak into their life. Or I think of Bill back there. Bill, you may not remember. Of course you remember this. I remember this. Patty will remember this. So I've been to Honduras 20 times. And I go down there and speak. And I remember Bill had met Patty. Patty met Bill. And she's from Tegucigalpa, right? Tegus at the time. And, you know, Bill comes back and he's like, you know, Mark, I'm thinking about this. Here's what I'm thinking about. And I think he thought about moving there for a while. And I don't remember all of our conversation. So I just passed on some things and threw out some things. She sounded like a wonderful lady. And she is. She's extraordinary, actually. You want to talk about a heroic faith, Patty? Sometimes you just have to put a video together of what you've lived through. And so I just gave him some simple advice, and he followed it, and I contacted Nelson, because down there it's a little technical when you're going to fall in love with a girl and maybe propose, and the elders down there, and take, so I know those guys. So I was kind of their agent for free. And and here they are with four beautiful kids, you know, and I know that the trajectory of his life would have been different had he moved there. It just would have been differences. I want to be able to influence. I want to imprint a person. I want to imprint my values and my godly habits on them. Imprint is like a ring here I have. It says, die self. Well, actually, I added an F at the end. It says diesel. I just changed it to die self. And it reminds me on my right hand, die to yourself, Mark. Die and you'll live. Die and you'll have much fruit. But there's an imprint on there. And I want to leave an imprint. Again, I want to make this clear. I don't mean they look like me, they dress like me, they act like me, they wear the shoes I wear. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those godly habits, their worldview and their life. I want to impart to a person biblical truth and a way of life to them. Way of life based on biblical truth. So, I want to ask you this question. Do you think of yourself this way? Do you think I am to be a pattern of what others can follow because I'm following Christ? Do you think that way? That's where it starts. Listen, this is natural for parents, please. If you don't, we need to have a talk. We need to have a conversation about your parenting. You want to be an example, a pattern of what others can follow because I am following Christ and doing his commands. See, I'm trying to teach them to do. Let's go back to our first session, to do. We're trying to teach people to be doers. That means if I'm going to have an impact, I've got to be one myself. I've got to be a doer. I've got to be a doer. And I walk through them with life. Now, we're going to get into some practical things here in just a moment. So I'm going to start off with my expert tip. That's what I call it. Doesn't mean I am, but I wrote that down. Here's a verse I carry around in my Bible. And then I just want to comment on it with you for a moment. I want to show you something from the life of Jesus. There's more than one way to say this, and I'm going to try to say it in different ways. I've been carrying a verse around in my Bible. It's on this piece of paper where the front cover came off, and it's found in the Living Bible, and it's out of Luke 9, verse 48. I don't remember always where it's from. I've never forgotten the phrase. Your care for others is the measure of your greatness. Your care for others is the measure of your greatness. The great expert secret tip to first beginning and influencing a person over the long haul is flat out, I love them. I love them. They really matter to me. They really, 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 really matter to me. Give you an example of how this kind of works. There was a young man. He was coming to the Rock for a while. He'd even gotten baptized and shared his testimony on stage. And I was really touched, you know, by his life, what God was doing. And he was pretty enthusiastic. He's not a naturally enthusiastic guy. And then all of a sudden, I keep track. People don't know this, but I don't have God's memory, not even close, not even an iota. But I have a pretty good memory. And I'll go home often on Friday night and write down who I didn't see. And then before I send out little notes to say I missed you, I try to find out if they were down in childcare where I never get down to the basement, and then maybe I missed them. Well, I hadn't seen this guy for about 4 weeks in a row. So I just reached out through an email. I said, hey, we'll call him Tommy. I said, hey, Tommy. I said, I miss you. I put in the subject line, miss you. You doing okay? I really meant it. I really meant it. It wasn't like, where are you, man? I'm spying on you. I really meant it. So I wrote a little note. I said, hey, I just really miss you. I know you were really trekking along with the Lord. Are you okay? Is something going on? He writes me back. I should have brought it, but this is almost it verbatim. He goes, Mark, he said, you're always really frank with us, so I'll be really frank with you. He said, oh, I'm not doing so good. I've been going to, I'll call it, I don't know, I think it was called Buffalo Gyms. I've been going to Buffalo Gyms on Friday, meeting women. I really like women. I really like drinking. I really like women. I really like dancing. He said, so that's what I've been doing. And I'm struggling a little bit with marijuana, but mostly it's dancing, women, and a little drinking. So I wrote him back, right? So he's just shared his heart with me, right? And I'm the pastor. I care about this guy. I care about him. I said, dear Tommy, I said, I really appreciate you being so honest with me. That took a lot of courage. It took a lot of courage for you to be honest with me. And I said, I want you to know something. I can understand as a 24-year-old young man, good looking, you got a lot of testosterone running in your body, man. This is fun. This is fun. And I realize I want you to know, as a young man, it's hard. It's difficult. It's really difficult. I remember looking back in my life, how difficult it was as a young man when I started following the Lord, but I had to make the decision to walk away from this female in my life and from females in general. And I said, but I want you to know, Tommy, I really love you and care about you, and I want to share something with you. If you keep going down this road, here's what's going to happen. You're probably going to get a girl pregnant, and you're going to face the giant conundrum in your life. The chances are very high you're going to get an STD. And then it won't see anymore. And the whole trajectory of your life is going to change. And you will have missed the woman that God has for you someday. I said, I love you, I care about you, and I'll be praying for you. And I said, I just have two things I'd like for you to do for me. I have two messages I'd like you to listen to. One is called Deadly Associations and the Termination Project. The other one, I believe, was called Wake Up. And he said, if I can ever do anything to help you, ever want to have coffee, you just let me know, but I really care about you. 2 days later, I get an email back, holy blank. Okay, my eyes are open. I'm smelling the smelling salts, Mark. The messages kind of were the dose I needed. Help me. So we met. Now he's back. He's leading one of our house churches. He's right now mentoring my son, Jeremy. I would have never assumed this of this guy to go speak in high schools on porn and abstinence. Because somebody cared. Somebody cared. I am not King Tut when it comes to this. Anybody can do these things. You just notice, and you take the time to care. I didn't land to him. I understand what it's like. It's tough, man. Have you ever seen, never mind, I won't make that comment. I want to show you this verse in John. This is a really striking verse about the Lord, and we could do like books on this, just this phrase. But I love this text, John 13, verse 1. I want to show you the secret to Jesus. It's really summed up right here. If I can see through my tears, sorry. This is verse 1. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He now showed the disciples the full extent of his love. I've underlined that in my Bible. And I am determined to show my rockers the full extent of my love. Tell them I'm dead. Or anybody that God brings in contact with that I have the chance to serve. The full extent of my love. I am a servant. That's all I am. And then what does Jesus do? He puts on an apron and he begins to wash their feet at the supper as an expression of his love for them. He loved them. He loved them. Compassion. Now listen to this, and I'm going to talk about this, and then we're just going to get into some practical things that you'll need to do. Just go through a list together, and then we'll break up and we'll have your question time. Compassion, caring, And genuine empathy towards the people you're trying to influence will allow you great influence in their life. Great influence. I see a young lady sitting back there with her new husband. And I remember when she was coming with her old boyfriend. This was probably 4 years ago, 3 years ago. I have the date written down. They asked if they could meet. He was an alcoholic trying to recover from alcohol. At the time, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, she was pretty kind of stern about, I don't know, real open to God, but wanted more in her life. And so right there at Ruger's Bagel, I just met them. I just listened to what was going on in their life. I just listened. I wasn't this overbearing ogre. I just listened to the struggles they're going through in their life. They have hopes and dreams. Every person you meet has hopes and dreams. And then I knew, well, they need Jesus. If even their relationship's going to work, they were trying to want it to work, but they didn't know if it could. So I shared Christ with them, and my understanding is she went home and came to know the Lord, isn't it? Something like that. Went home and invited Christ into her life. And this has been extraordinary to watch her grow. And I, because obviously she's a female, I'm very careful in my relationship, but she's kind of like a spiritual daughter. So I'd always make a point to say hi at the service, to come up and give her a hug. I pray for her. That's another huge way to influence people. I pray for them. I mean, I pray for them. And I ask God to do things in their life. And then I'll forget when the guy she's with now started showing up. The other guy, he drifted, tried to help him. I tried so hard to help him. I really did, but I can't make their decision for them. I can't, that's the one thing I can't do. And little by little, she just kept growing. She's getting in her Bible, and she's listening to messages, and she's trying to reach out to her twin and reach out to family, and that's pretty tough. They're pretty hard nosed. I believe she's the only one who knows the Lord in her family. And then God brought this wonderful young man, and then he almost dies. They weren't really an item, but one day I get a call from his boss. I'm not really supposed to call, is what he told me. I said, okay. Well, you have to tell me. And then he says, no, I really need to, because this guy talks about you in his church all the time. The ambulance just showed up. He just fell over in his seat. And he said, Mark, from what I've seen before, because I used to be in this field, he's going to die. I said, okay. So I called up Andy Coe. I rallied a bunch of singles, and Randy and Natasha and those guys, they were up at his bedside in front of that family, watching all this unfold from a divorced family, what, 24-7 for a week, 2 weeks, as he's in coma. And now he's alive, and then they realize they love him, and she's up there the whole time reaching out to his mom, setting up a hotel for them. I mean, what these singles did for each other, I just blew my mind. I'm just sitting at my computer getting some of the emails, crying. Like, thank you, God. I am so proud of these people. This is unbelievable. The level of love they're showing this guy who'd only been coming, like, what, 2 months? 4 months? I don't know. It wasn't very long. And his family was blown away. God set the whole thing up. For so many reasons, to demonstrate the love of Christ and everybody just loving on each other. And then they got married, and God just doing wonderful things. We just try to influence. We love, but it starts with love. We have to really care. I'll give you another example of ways you can influence someone. And I don't know where this is going to go yet, but I go to shop at a certain store, Trader Joe's. I'll tell you the store. I won't tell you where, but anyway, I go into Trader Joe's, and there's a black man there that I've just always make a point to talk to him. He's really, how do I say this? I know these things intuitively. It's just me. I know he's trying really hard to make it. I know he's trying really hard to do better than what he came from, and I can see it. And I'll call him, Adrian. So one day I was in there, I just said, I always get people's names because I just look at their name tag really fast. They don't know I saw it, but I see it. I said, Adrian, can I tell you something? I said, man, I really appreciate your attitude in here when I come in here. Because see, here's what Mark Darling knows. I've just turned 60 in August. I'm an old man. But I understand this guy probably never had a father, probably doesn't know who his father is, and no one's probably ever come alongside him and blown wind into his sails and said, hey, you are really doing a good job. And he needs it. Young men need it a lot more than you realize. So I'm going to be that man. I said, Adrian, I just want you to know, every time I come in here, your attitude is stellar, man. And I want you to know, if I was the manager of this store, I'd be proud to have you as an employee. And he looks at me, and he goes, man, nobody's ever told me anything like that in my whole life. He said, actually, some people come in here, Mark, some people like you, in other words, white, they aren't too friendly. And so I ain't one of those guys, Adrian. So we often talk, right? We talk. I always take a moment to say hi. Well, so then the Philando Castile thing happened. And I knew there's a lot of tension in this city and a lot of hurt. A lot of hurt. And my son, his wife's sister, who comes to my church, is a Minneapolis cop in the tough areas, in North Minneapolis. So I know from conversations what is going on. So it was a Saturday morning, and I got there before it opened. I did it deliberately, so I wanted to see him. And I wanted no one else to be there. So I walked in, and I saw him. I said, Adrian, I said, I want you to know I've been praying for you. How are you? I'm sure all this is really tough. He just broke down. He started crying right on the spot. Big guy. He said, Mark, what the hell, man? Is this open season on us? He said, we just get treated like, you know, word for poop. And I said, Adrian, I said, I'm really sorry. I said, I know it's really hard. He said, Mark, what do I tell my kids? So I didn't know he had kids. So you know what I did? I looked at him. I said, Adrian, what do you tell your kids? I said, you're giving your kids the best present any man could give their kids. You come in here every day, and you show up for work, and you have the best attitude of anybody in this place. You're manning up. You're loving those kids. And I said, it means a great deal to them. And I admire it. I respect it. And I said, Adrian, and I said, and I'll bet you, you didn't have a dad. He started sobbing. He was, how did you know this? I said, it's kind of what I do for a living. I love young men. And he said, you just grabbed, he said, can I hug you? I said, absolutely. So we stood there in a wine department of Trader Joe's. Then he backed up. He goes, whoa, man, who are you? I feel something in my body. I said, well, I'm just a guy, but I said, I'm a pastor. He goes, you're a pastor? I said, I'm a pastor, Adrian. And I said, is there anything I can ever help you? I love dads. I said, my own father walked away. I understand how difficult it is. But I want you to know, if there's anything I can ever do to help you, you let me know. Every time since I go in, he hugs me. Man, how you doing, brother? What's going on? And we talk, and I ask him about his children, ask him what he's doing. And two of the children, he's adopted from a cousin who is a drug addict in another part of the state, and he's trying to raise them himself. I mean, with his lady. And then I know, one time he told me, I'm going on vacation. I'm going down to Georgia where my people are. I've never met my people. He said, I never met my dad. But I hear he's going to be there. I'm hoping to maybe meet him. And when I first walked in, I told him, when I said, Adrian, I want you to know I've been praying for you because I realize it's tough. He's like, you've been praying for me? I said, yeah, because I knew this is going to be really difficult on you as a black man. And I realized that your community's hurting. And I hurt for you. So then, about 3 weeks later, I'm in there. I said, Adrian, how was your time, man? He said, Mark, it was awesome. We rented this Winnebago. He said, I drove my aunts, my uncles, and my people and all my kids. He got this Winnebago full of his black family, man, and they're driving all the way down to Georgia and to Mississippi. I'm like, man, that is a long trip. How was it? He goes, man, it was beautiful. We did this. We had this time. And I looked at him and I said, Adrian, that is so commendable. That is so commendable what you did. Most guys would never take the time to serve the other people in their life like that. That is so godlike. This is what I said. Anyway, he's visited once. My main goal, whether he ever visits the Rock or not, I want you know I got no ulterior motive. I really care about this guy, and I pray for him every day. If more is caught than taught, then I hope you're catching something here. People have to matter to us. People have to matter. God died for them. Christ died for them. They matter. Someone was asking me earlier, you know, Mark, do you ever need to grow in love? Do you ever get upset at people? Of course I do sometimes in my prayer time. I'm like, Lord, just kill them. Just kill these people, man. I admit it. I'm like, Lord, just the world, just burn it to the ground, man. These pigs, man. It's unbelievable what's going on. Lord, God, help me. Help my heart. Help me, Lord, to love people. Help me, God. Help me to be patient. And then I found a secret is overcome evil by doing good. So I'm the kind of guy, I look at what's going on in the world. And guys, my son is doing, telling me about the porn issue. It's like burning down the country. You don't understand what's happening. You got to hear Jeremy's talk at The Rock on porn. And Ryan's, it's on my site. It's unbelievable what's going on. And you know my secret? I don't worry about changing the world. I worry about one life. I can change one life one at a time. I was telling this person, I can't stop abortion, for example, but I had one young lady, one young man, both of them drug addicts. They'd been broken up for 8 months. They got together for a trice. She ends up pregnant. They were a mess. And they met together to tell me they wanted to do the right thing, in other words, get married. So I took a big gulp. This is not easy to do. And with tears, I said to them, I said, look, I love you too. But you'll destroy this child's life if you marry him. You're not ready. You hate each other as it is. You just got together for sex. You're a crack addict. You're a crack addict. Please listen. This child needs a loving mom and dad. Don't kill this baby. I will help you find a family for this baby. I will help somehow support you through the pregnancy. But please don't just get married because two wrongs won't make it right. It'll make it a lot worse. Their little baby. So I knew I couldn't control this. I couldn't set it up. But I could pray. I could pray. So I advised her to go to New Life Homes, which she did. Thank you, God. She went through the book, and the very family she picked out from the Urban Refuge was the one I had told them about, and today they have that little boy. I think he's 12. I can change one. See, that's what keeps me going. If I could not do this, I want you to know, God is my witness, I'd quit. I'd get out of this city, this state. This world sucks so bad. It is so vile. This is what keeps me going, discipling. One at a time, three lives at a time, five, whatever. Am I making sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so now we're going to go through this really quick. Number one, I need to intentionally invest time relationally into a person. Invest time. You can meet them at Chipotle. You can meet early morning for coffee. You go on a road trip. Again, I want to include every person. You're single. A lot of these things are available to you. You can have them over for supper with you and your roommates or with you and your family. Just have them like Carl did in your home. Trust me, you are the sweet, fragrant aroma of Jesus, man. And what your life is like is so different than what they grew up with. I'm dealing with so many young people who never had family. They have no idea. Tell you a story. This is what I mean by influence. So I'm doing this series, How Should a Man Really Love His Wife? And so some young people here from Bloomington came. One of them was Mike's son. And but there was two young ladies that came. I won't tell you their names. They're both here now, by the way. Really good things are going on in their lives because of you guys. They're both really attractive high school seniors. They're like, wow. Okay, so they come. So the first night I'm sharing my message, I'm just sharing, I'm crazy about my wife. I've been married to her 37 years. And I'm crazy about her. I'm more crazy about her now than when we met. And it's real. And so I'm telling these different stories. She walks up to me after the service, and she's crying. Just attractive, blonde. She's crying. She said, I'm stunned. I did not know that this was possible, that a man could love his wife like this. And I want this. I want this in my life. And all my relationships are just, you know what they are in high school. They're just rotten and immoral. Her own family is a mess. So I just said, well, I'm so touched. Thank you that you came. Please come back for the whole series. I'm going to, and I'm bringing my cousin. Her cousin's right by her. 2 weeks later, so they come twice. I'm in the Bloomington parking lot at the office picking something up. And this older woman, white hair, you know, across the parking lot. I don't really know her. Mark, Mark. She's kind of running. She's older. Kind of running over. She goes, Mark, Mark, you don't know me. And I've been praying for my granddaughters for years. She said, I didn't come to Christ till I was later in my life. She said, but my daughter's life and my granddaughter and my other granddaughter. That series impacted them just from your stories. And that young lady today is married to my son. And the other young lady's engaged to another young man in Bloomington. All I did, God did work, but I just shared my life. I just let my love for my wife show publicly. I'm not afraid to say the woman makes me crazy love, man. But those are choices I made in my life. I've been transparent. I've shared the struggles, the things I've had to work through. Your life can be no. You can impact people. You can influence them. They just see you. They taste and touch and see what you are. Meet once a week for coffee. Share your life with them. Share what you're learning. Like Carl, share what you're struggling with. Man, how many young men are going to tell you, you know, when the young guy's asking, you're just having breakfast with Trader Joe's sausages and eggs. Man, yesterday was rough in my marriage. What? What? Yeah, well, you know, some days go kind of like that. And you just begin to tell them. You bring them into your world. Here's what I'm learning. Here's what God is teaching me. Man, I need to grow. What an incredible example. And just role modeling. I'm walking through life trying to learn. We don't have it all together. This is the reality of authentic Christianity. Pray for their life. Pray over their life. 5, pray together with them over things concerning their life and their family. Involve them in what you're doing ministry-wise if possible. Kurt back there. Kurt, I don't know if he's still here. Jess Gilman. Dirk's back there. They're working Ever Island. They're going downtown, reaching out to homeless youth using the Urban Ventures facility, this neat partnership. And you know, Jeremy and Dirk, but Jeremy with his music, he just takes guys along with him who they may not be at the time the most talented musician in the world. He just takes them along and he loves on them. And then they get better and they get better and he doesn't put them down. They just work on the song. They play it. I wanted him today to come to share this, but he couldn't be here because he's in a sex trafficking thing where he's got a booth and he's promised some people he'd be there. You just bring them into what you're doing. 7, focus on one person who already may be in your small group. Don't necessarily have to be a stranger. Find someone or in your church. We need you. What I'm trying to say is we need you. As pastors, we need you. Just come alongside and get involved in the work. Bring the Faith Walkers with you. This event was created to help pass on our values and shape a person's faith. Did you know that? I started the event. Now, I did it with others. But it was deliberate to pass on our values, to imprint young people. We started with 485, and last year there was over 3,000. And I could tell you story after story. One of them, Nick Lee from China, started out by living in our Rock Mission House with their missionary couple, Tim and Kathy. He didn't really come to know the Lord at that point. And then he got involved with our student group. He ended up at Faith Walkers. I only found this story out when he was up sharing when we did the series White Church. I didn't even know it. And he said, Mark, I was sitting there in the audience, and your son was up there doing a song, and all of a sudden he just kept playing, but he stopped and he said, right now, I want you to kneel down. I want you to kneel down right where you are. I want you to let go. I want you to let go. I want you to let go. And he said, I got saved right there. I was just, are you kidding? That's amazing. Well, Nick's now married to a young lady at the Rock. He's learning. He's growing. He's able to stay in the country now. But some years ago, we met, he and I, for coffee. I said, what do you want? He said, I want to get married to a girl, or I want to stay in this country. I want to be an American. And I said, well, okay, that's a tall order. Let's pray. I'll be praying that can happen. He's learning. Go on a mission trip together. Wow, we got so many stories here. Just take them along with you. Get them out of this country. Get them in the third world or wherever you go and go together and just buddy up with them and be with them. Show them the ropes. It'll be life-changing. Get copies of the core booklet and read through it together with him and discuss it. Here's the last one I want to share. This was really touching for me. Go through a message series together. Now, it could be one your pastor's done. I would encourage that. Or you could go to Strong Disciple. But I have a young lady call me on the phone. Her and her husband, very dear to me at The Rock, and they're very key workers in our church. She was thinking of going through this women's Bible study of some particular person who will go unnamed. But she called me for advice. And I said, well, do you mind if I give you straight up advice? Yeah, I said, I would steer clear of that. Here's why. I gave her the reasons. And I could tell, to be honest, that was a little hard for her to hear. I said, but here's what I think would be really good. Go to my website. There's a message called Faith Walker's Birthright, and there's a bookmark that goes with it. And it's all about who we are in Jesus Christ. I think women, it will really help them. She said, okay. So they did. So she met with six girls, six moms, all moms, busy moms. But they want to do this extra. They get together. She called. I keep up. Just, how is it? Just, how did it go? I'm praying for you. Oh, Mark, it's brought up so many good discussions. We've looked up all the verses. We're doing this. We've even expanded on it. So then what happened was they finished that, and she goes, okay, we'd like another one. I said, well, you know, they're all moms, right? She said, yeah. I said, you probably weren't even alive when I did How to Keep Your Kids Drug-Free. I said, I think it would be really good if you listened to that. Why don't you go through it together each week? Now they got their husbands listening to it, and now I'm headed there to talk about it in a few weeks. See, here's why. We share the same values. Be real careful what books you use out there. Be real careful. Trust me, I could tell you a number of horror stories that you thought it was innocuous at the time, and the next thing you know, they become a blah, blah, or they become a blah, blah, or they go in a whole different direction with their life. So just be careful. There can be really good books out there, and I've used them, but try to use something your pastor just went over at your location, or you're free to use anything on that site. It's there. It's available. This is what I wanted to share with you today. The main thing, you've got to love on these people and be with them. Do you follow me? So they know they're loved. Now, last thing I want you to know. Brent, I'm saying this for Brent, but it's really important that you know. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you, go find somebody to disciple you. Did you know that? You can't find it. It tells you to go make disciples. Can I tell you a secret about me? No one discipled me. Really, no one really invested time with me. I had a very busy life. When I got married, it was very tough. Dennis Clark would come over once in a while to my swimming pool. We were good buddies. We did some music together. But no one was intentional. I was in Rick Whitney's house church. And then shortly after, he moved to Florida and told me to plant a church. And he sat me down and said, Mark, I love you, but... And I'd been his roommate. I lived in their basement. He said, but you can't come. You're not ready to come. Okay. He was right. I love Rick. We're very close. But I watch the other people around me. I want you to know that. God mentors you. God mentors you. But what I worry about is what God's asking me to do. What's God asking me to do? He wants you to go come alongside somebody.